The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery free in terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
We've seen them attack them, and there's Brendan! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do. Taylor Wadi scores! And the City ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it.
Hello, welcome back to Red Side of Trent for a belated Man City preview as Forest welcome the champions of Europe, the champions of everything, Mason, in what seems to be a Rocky versus Ivan Drago equivalent. Here to talk about the preview and Man City coming to the City Ground and everything else that's gone off in the last week is my friend and friend of the pod, Mason Coy. Mason, you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. Thank you for having me. Just pointing out, I'm not a Man City fan. Look, Forest fan before we all get started.
Yes, big Forest fan, and often lose your head every week when we're rubbish. Just wanted to ask you your opinion on the City game last night. Obviously, we saw them dismantle Brighton fairly easily 4-0. And I mean, they could have probably took half their team off to rest for Sunday, but I don't think they did in the end. What does that give you? What's your thought process having watched that last night and going into Sunday's game? Because we all thought, oh, they're playing midweek, they might get kicked about a bit and maybe tight game, but it really wasn't that way at all.
It was, to be fair, about lunchtime yesterday, I was weirdly optimistic or blindly optimistic about Sunday. But after watching yesterday, after about 10 minutes in, I think I messaged you, didn't I? And I just said, we're in a lot of trouble here. We could be in a lot of trouble if this could be an 8-0 jobby if we're not on it. But now it's just City all over, isn't it? I think I was waiting for them to make a mistake yesterday. Got to the game about 34 minutes in, and I said, there's the passing, the moves, everything, they just never seem to make a mistake. It's quite scary.
I mean, the third goal, I think it is, where I don't know what the heck Brighton are doing in back.
Yeah, playing around with the ball, weren't they?
I mean, we've got to avoid that at all costs, surely, on Sunday. What have you made about everything else that's gone off since last Sunday against Everton, with the whole statement, the whole PGML thing? I mean, I'm still flabbergasted that audio has still not been brought to light. Like, where the heck is that? It's been nearly a week. Where is it?
It's not right, is it? Initial reaction, to be fair, I think mine was pretty different to probably the majority. Like, when the statement first came out, the first one, like on the final whistle, I was in that state of head loss anyway, similar to Forrest. So I was like, yeah, let's go. Like, it's wartime. Let's put the gloves on and have a scrap. But now it's all calmed down. I think what we did was probably correct. I think the second statement should have been the first one. Obviously, tempers were flared, and obviously it's come out recently as well that Marinakis wanted to use stronger words, and he also wanted to do it at half-time, which was frightening. I think now it's all calmed down. I think I kind of want to forget about it in a weird way. We've got four games, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? We've got four games to stay in the league. last week has been an absolute roller coaster. I'm happy seeing Wolves and Brighton join our little crew. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Because they're happy with a few decisions. But no, it's just, there's a lot been going off. I'm just kind of waiting for it to quieten down now, really.
What have you made to Neville and Carragher's reaction as well? Because I think at the final whistle, they've called out, or Neville especially, called as a mafia type. And Forrest have reacted poor. Well, they've reacted to that. And then also how much they've been now scrutinised within the media, within Twitter, by not only our fan base, but loads of fan bases, about all the things they've brought up in the past of saying refs are corrupt, refs aren't on a payroll. This is coming from a bloke who played for a Man United side that were renowned for intimidating referees, especially Sir Alex Ferguson, who was the most feared manager to have probably graced English football. And he's come out with that. The hypocrisy is astonishing in my eyes.
It is. And then it's become even more hypocritical because his own manager from his own club has now been fined today for similar stuff, outing referees and being abusive towards referees. So that's interesting. But I think Forrest, if this is true or not, I'm not 100% sure it is true, but I think Forrest are taking steps to have them both not there on Sunday. I think that's probably correct, because that could get very hostile very quickly. And then it ends up just being the bad guy. Yeah, it would add to the atmosphere. But at this point, I think Forrest have done enough with the second statement and the third statement to turn it around and turn us into the good guys, and Forrest are trying to do a good thing, whereas initially we were the bad guys. So I think if they were there and they get hurled abuse, even hurled objects at them, you know what football fans can be like, especially if they're in front of A block, and I think that's where they've got to walk down onto near the gantry and stuff like that. So it could get very hostile. Then we end up being the bad guys. So I think in terms of that, I think that's good. But with regards to them, I think I've lost a lot of respect for them as commentators and pundits over the last week or so. I think especially Neville, I really like Neville. He like sees himself as like the Prime Minister of football, doesn't he? But
yeah,
been very wrong the past few days. The way he's worded stuff, the way he keeps bringing us up. I think he brought us up on the overlap as well the other day.
And they've referred to the playoff game against Huddersfield, where you'd argue one of them was a penalty, the other one was dubious. Maybe a die from, I think it was Toffolo rather than O'Brien. And I'm thinking, well, you could do that for pretty much now every game if you really wanted to. You can keep bringing it. But like, I think someone made a thread on Twitter, I don't know if you've seen it, Mason, but where we've had like 17 incidences in 34 games this season, where there's been clear and obvious mistakes. And I'm not getting away from Forest, I haven't had them go for us, but we've had like far more against us than for us.
One
in every two games it works out to be this season, we've had a decision go against us. And people keep using this brush of like, oh, well, Forest need to be focused on the football and play better in games to win matches. Well, I'm sorry, but is referees and winning penalties and sendings offs and all that and bad decision making not part of the game? Or have I just like missed something completely?
It's a big part of the game. And you're already onto as soon as you step onto the pitch, if you've got inept referees, you're fighting a losing battle instantly. And you could argue it's the same for both teams, but it doesn't seem to be the case this season, does it? It seems to be just our way. I've been in attendance for most of the games, and honestly, I think even in live, I'm not a referee, never claimed to be a referee. I know Lee, who's usually on air, is a referee, but like even in normal time, I think if you have a footballing brain and you watch enough football, you can see that some of these instances are meant to be going Forest's way, and they're just not. It's absolutely baffling. Yeah. I think I put a strongly worded slept on it thoughts last term after the Everton game. It's hard to put into characters on X/Twitter how bad they are at the moment. And I think it's only strengthened our case more because of the Wolves goal the other day was horrendous. And then even last night, the couple of instances in the Brighton Man City game.
I know we just spoke about like it could fuel the atmosphere in a bad way, but I think Sunday could be proper raucous cauldron, regardless whether Neville or Carragher are there, because I feel like it's almost united the fan base again, weirdly.
Yeah, it's kind of everyone seems to have forgotten about the uproar with the season ticket prices for next year, haven't they? in the midst of all this, when that comes back, I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm hoping it'd be similar to City last year. Obviously, I'd, like you, attend most games. The City at home last year, after we scored, I think it was like in the 80-something minute, wasn't it? The start of the 80. The next 10 to 15 minutes after that were the best 10 to 15 minutes I've had in the Forest ground, just for pure atmosphere. It was, what, I've got a video on my phone, and sometimes I just sit and just watch it, and it gives me goosebumps. It's incredible. So if we can replicate that, then yeah, we're onto a winner, really, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a really tough game, as we know. I mean, we've got a better version of Chris Wood this season, so that's also helpful. Can you believe that our midfield last season, by the way, was Jack Colback, Jonjo Shelvey and Remo Freuler, by the way?
Wow. When you look at that, that's crazy. That is crazy.
And we scored a Man City-esque goal with several passes. I can't remember how many it was. I think it was like between 18 and 20 or something daft like that. I mean, and tapped in by Chris Wood. But how do we approach this game, Mason? Because obviously last week it was... I mean, the biggest game in the Champions League last week, arguably, was Real Madrid v City at the Etihad. And Real Madrid really showed how to, I mean, maybe not limit City, because City probably deserved to win that game overall. But the low block counter-attack was something that was really evident with no striker. Is this the best way to go for us?
Yes and no. Yes, because it worked for Real Madrid, and no, because we're not Real Madrid. it's a difficult one, really. Like, I've been trying to think about it a little bit today. We've got personnel that can hurt City, but it's just getting that personnel into the right areas of the pitch, isn't it, really? I think you guys mentioned it briefly on your last pod. I think you have to pack the midfield, regardless of individuals who plays. You've got to pack the midfield. Seeing Brighton yesterday, like you said earlier, third goal, I think it was. Foden's second. Trying to play out from the back, I think we have to scrap that Sunday. I think we have to scrap that because, one, we're not good enough to do it against normal Premier League teams. There's a reason. let's be realistic. There's a reason that we are 17th in the league. And one of them is being we're not good enough on the football. And then, so if we try and do that against the best, it's literally, it's like going to a knife fight with a spoon, isn't it? You're going to lose. You know,
you're not going to
damage them. I think we need to go either direct and pinpoint towards Wood, or there's an argument, and I've seen it quite a few today, a few people say that Wood potentially doesn't start. That is very, obviously, unfair on Wood, but if you're going with a different approach, which is the less pinpoint one, and you go more direct and you're just hooking it into channels, you go Elanga all day long, don't you? So there's an argument for that as well.
We've also seen how useless he is as a centre forward.
It'll be offside anyway.
he is really bad at as the centre forward. I mean, it's just such a difficult one because, I mean, I've just said to you before we started about like what lineup I'd go with, and it's so hard to pick personnel. Do you think this is a potential game for Ibrahim Sangare to come back in, or no, because of like what's happened recently, where we've had fans boo him, which I find absolutely mental. Like, we should be getting behind players, we should be lifting them up. I know everyone's got their opinion about Yatesy, and everyone's a bit Marmite. You and myself especially, we're very, very Marmite on him. But at the end of the day, we want him to do well in a Forest shirt. Surely that should apply to every single player.
It should, but for some reason it doesn't, because he's not come through the academy. But that's another story for another day. For me, I'd chuck him in. I would chuck him in. One of his main strengths is winning the ball back. One of his main strengths is cutting passing lines, which is City to a nutshell, isn't it, really? And then I'd surround him by legs, really. Pure legs with Danilo, Dominguez, Gibbs White even. I'd chuck him in because also it's a win-win for him. If he doesn't do well, you say, well, it's City, what do you expect? And if he does do well, then he's done well for the team. So I think I would chuck him in, yeah.
Well, if Jonjo Shelvey Jack Colback can do a job in there, I'm sure. I mean, I love Jack Colback, so I not put his name in the same breath as Jonjo Shelvey, but yeah, they did a decent job last season. So my 11, and I see what you think to this. I've gone Sells in goal. I've put Andio or Bolly if they're available, if Bolly's available, with Moussa Niakate and Murillo as a back three. I've got Nico Williams, Yates, Sangare, and Aino in a midfield four there. And then I've made a box with Dominguez and Danilo, I think, would probably be the one if you want to get legs around Sangare. I mean, you've got Yates, Dominguez, Danilo. They'll do plenty of running for you. And then Gibbs-White on his own up front. But you do lack that pace and support. But I suppose that I don't see why Danilo and Dominguez wouldn't be able to get up there. But I think you do surrender a lot of possession to City. And then is it a case of like keeping them at bay for, I don't know, 75, 80 minutes, and then you can chuck an Alanga on and try and hook balls into channels? I don't know. Because I think earlier in the season, we did try and get at City, and then obviously we got Rodri sent off for a strangulation on Walter Gibbs-White, which was far less than the one Felipe did on Bruno Fernandes in the Carabao Cup.
I like the thought of that. I think either way, you're playing into their hands either way, aren't you? Whichever way you go for it. If you pick a 4-4 at the back with a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, whatever way you look at it, they'll find pockets in that. If you pick a 5-3-2, a 5-4-1, they'll find pockets in that regardless. I think if we want to be as positive as we like to be at home, you can look at it either way. Again, it sounds like I'm sitting on the fence, but you could go 4-2-3-1 or you could go a 3-5-2, 5-3-2, whichever way you look at it. And like I said earlier, the two has either got to have Alanga and Gibbs-White or Wood and Gibbs-White. It depends whether you want to go pinpoint or you want to just boom it and hope Alanga latches onto something which gets us up the pitch. But for me, I like your team. I do like your team. I'd probably go myself. I'd probably go Sells in goal. A back three of Niakate centrally, Murillo left, Andio right, Nico and Olerena on the wing back roles, right and left. And then I probably would go Sangare, Dominguez and Danilo as a pure three with Gibbs-White and Wood myself is what I'd.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Go for.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like possession goes out of this game. I feel like just turning them around as much as possible. And like you say, get it into channels, get it into positions where they're going away from goal. I know that's like stupid because they've got Edison in goal and he can just ping a ball like wherever he wants sort of thing if he gets the time. But this is City, man. Like I generally have watched them for however many years with Guardiola and you the same for 5-6 years. And I still don't understand how you stop them. I can't work a way out, and I love football. I absolutely love it. And I always feel like there is a way to stop every single team. With them, I've got absolutely no clue apart from other than suffocate the space. But Haaland didn't play yesterday, and I feel like if we suffocate space, Alvarez playing is perfect for them because he'll drop in and he'll find pockets. And it's just like they've just got so many angles of attack, and I'm terrified. I am terrified. Like I will say it, I'm not confident of getting anything out of the game. But I am just hopeful. That's why I've named it. Like, can we repeat history by, I don't know, somehow getting a result? Because we're gonna have Liverpool and Arsenal fans behind us. Liverpool are gonna be like clinging on to any little bit of hope that we get a result out of this game, just so they can stay in the race. Really,
Yeah, I think either way, it's going to have to be a snatch and grab again, isn't it, really? It's going to be ridiculously difficult. Like you said with Alvarez, I think that's true. I think we're better suited to deal with Haaland. I know that sounds genuinely ridiculous. We're better suited to deal with one of the best strikers in the world. But like you said, if we can suffocate that space in behind, it nullifies Haaland to a certain extent, whereas Alvarez picks up pockets, doesn't he? And he's clever. So I think that could probably cause us more damage, especially if we sit deep, which we're more than likely going to. I think that naturally happens to any team anyway who plays City. But yeah, they don't have a weakness, do they? Let's be honest. They don't have one. One player I'm not looking forward to playing against, and I said this the other day to you in one of our group chats that we're in, is Doku. I'm dreading playing against him, because one players that always seem to get great freedom against Forest are quick wingers. I don't know why. I'm just haunted by them. I was haunted by Matoma last year. He wasn't the best, but every time he got the ball, it scared the living death out of us. It was horrendous. Rashford's goal in the cup last year, the Carabao Cup, still scares me. And Doku's got that in him, hasn't he? He's got that something a little bit different that's not exactly Man City-esque. So for some reason, he's sticking in my brain.
It's that more directness, isn't it, where he'll just run at you. But like the one glimmer of hope I have with him, because he's a young player and it's his first City season, this happens with like every single week. The end product isn't quite there yet. I mean, he should have probably way more goals and assists than he does.
Yeah.
But this is where like I think the argument to play a back three or and pack midfield is, because then you can get to support over to him with Nico. And at least you know with Nico this season, he will smash a winger. Like, he will get stuck into him a little bit. And I think that's the way he's got to go about it. He's got to kind of, whether he's going to win a ball, I think within the first 10 minutes, just go and hit him. At least go do something and like, I don't know, just try and stop him in any sort of tracks and say, not like, but I guess you do risk like an early booking or whatever, especially with how easy it is to pick up a yellow card in the Premier League. It's so frustrating. I mean, the one player I'm not looking forward to is Foden, because he's just in scintillating form this season. He's the best player in the league by a country mile, in my opinion. I guess the only weakness you would say with City is if they get caught out with overplaying with like their inverted fullbacks, and if like one of them goes on a bit of like gets a bit of a nosebleed and gets up front like a Stones and like ends up in the centre forward position or something crazy. And you can kind of catch them out. But this is where I think you have to play all your ball winners, like you say. People who can play, people all Harry and win the ball back. And we have to be clinical. And we've not been clinical enough this season. I know Wood's conversion rate's really good, but other players have not been that clinical. Like, I look at Alanga and how wasteful he's been this season. It's whereas like last season you had Johnson, who was pretty clinical and he delivered a good ball to Gibbs White in that instance, and it was a good pass. We have to be 100% at it, really, because earlier in the season we had chances against City and we did not hit the target. I think Edison made one save in that game, and that was, and they had 10 men for half of the game of football.
Yeah, I think with City it's got to be a 10 out of 10 clean performance, hasn't it, to even scrape a draw. That is, you're still not guaranteed that, even if some teams have come off. As weirdly enough, I listened to another podcast yesterday and it was ex-professionals talking about playing against Man City, and they come off and the manager was absolutely buzzing with them at half time, but they were 3-0 down. It's like you've got to be pinpoint, haven't you? You've got to be 10 out of 10 across the pitch. And like you said about Nico snapping into tackles, I'd like to see, that's one of my bugbears about Forest. We're not necessarily a team that go round leaving a bit on the other team, are we? We're not exactly a snappy, nasty team. I'd like to see us be a bit nastier, but we're clutching really at straws, aren't we?
I think this is where, like, if you had like a Kiate and he was a bit younger, he's that type of player that would get amongst it. And he's a bit horrible. He's like a long, horrible man, and he likes kicking people. So it'd have been good. Other than that, like, what I would like to have a little chat about, obviously, tomorrow's games as well as we talk. So Wolves host Luton and Man United host Burnley. How confident are you of those results going in our way?
Very. I don't want to speak it into existence. I was the same last week, to be fair, with Luton. I was confident that Brentford were going to beat them. Wolves are a team similar to us who have had terrible decisions, and I don't think they've won in their last five, have they? I think they've gone on a real downward spiral recently. They're still obviously more than safe, sat in mid table. What we'd do to have that sense of security? But no, I think Wolves have got a good enough squad of players to beat Luton. You'd like to think, especially at Molineux, you'd like to think that they've got enough. They've got Cunha, got a good 40 odd minutes the other day. They've got Huang, who's on his way back, caused us a few problems the other week. Aitnor, he's top draw. They've got a really good team, I think. They're partially on the beach, I thought, against us, because I thought they were there for the taking against us. Yeah. But you'd like to think, with the quality that they've got, that Wolves will be safe and sound against Luton at home. You'd like to think, anyway.
And then what about Man U? Because, I mean, did I ever expect Sheffield United to score two against them? I don't know. Maybe the shackles are a bit off. But Man United, I just don't know which Man United are going to turn up. But at Old Trafford, you'd like to think they beat them. But
at Old Trafford, you'd like to think so. But like the other night, you'd like to think that would have been a drubbing, wouldn't you, for Sheffield United? It turned out to be 4-2, quite comfortable. But for long periods of that game, it wasn't comfortable, was it? So it depends which Man you turn up, like you say, and which Burnley turn up, because they blow hot and cold. They'll give you a good performance but lose. They've got Muric, who's obviously ex-Forest in goal, who seems to be dropping clangers week in, week out. Now he's come back into the team. They're a strange bunch, because a month ago you'd have said they were dead, buried, gone. Now all of a sudden the 3 points offers. So, but they've got very, very tough fixtures, haven't they? I think they've got Man U, Spurs, and who's the other one? Someone up there as well. They've got some. Yeah. The next three are very, very tough. So I'd be as far as I'm concerned, it's Luton that I'm bothered about, and whose score I'll be watching at the weekend anyway.
Yeah, the one saving grace with Man United is they've got to cling on to, if they want European football next year, they've got to cling on to sixth. I don't think they'll get fifth. I think that's too far off them. I don't actually remember not looking at the table on hand. So that kind of gives me a little bit of hope. They've got an FA Cup game to kind of prepare for, and players to like play their way into that starting 11 against City. So that's also a saving grace. I think with the Wolves one for me is I can't imagine a Premier League side ever being on a beach, because like every point matters. If they get like one place higher up, the winner, they get an extra couple of million. Do you know what I mean? Like Gary Neal he didn't get backed in the summer. I'd imagine if they finish a little bit higher, he might get a bit of money to play with and something to do with their team in the summer to improve them, because they've overachieved in a lot of people's eyes. Like Gary Neal's surprised so many people again for the second season running, and been like, he's kind of gone from being a bit mocked as a PE teacher as such to actually he's quite a good young coach, whether you like him or not, whether you like his demeanour in the media. It doesn't matter, because he's showing proof in the pudding on the pitch, really. So what's your score prediction for the weekend? Because we've all gave ours on the main pod show, so you may as well have yours today.
Wow. Head is saying 3-1 City. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? And then heart is screaming Chris Wood 1-1 again. I don't care if it's Chris Wood. I don't care who scores. I don't care if it's an own goal off their backside. I don't care, as long as we're in the game. I think I'd like to see us have a go, whether that's from minute 80, minute 75. I'd like to see us have a bit of just pressure, to be honest. Just pressure on them, make them feel uncomfortable, make it uncomfortable for them overall. But yeah, I'm going to go with 3-1 City, I think.
I mean, the one thing I'd like to say is, all season against whoever, even under Cooper, I think at home, we've always gave the bigger teams a decent game, other than maybe Man United last season. But at home, obviously, we beat them this year. Tottenham we had Turner in goal, so that says it all, really. Our Arsenal, we made them panic a little bit at the end, but they were probably the best side that's come to us all season in my eyes. We've still got Chelsea to come, obviously, who are a decent side. I mean, Liverpool should have been a 0-0, could have been a 1-0 if Elanga had his, put that one in the bottom corner. I mean, that could have been a different story. So we've got it in us, but this is a freak team, isn't it? Like, they are like, I don't know, the aliens from Space Jam, it seems, where they've just got taken all the powers from every single good player in the world and they've got it. So we'll see about that, and hopefully results go our way. So we've got a little bit. If the results go our way, I think we can relax a little bit on Sunday, especially as supporters, because we go, well, it's a free hit now.
Yeah, like,
if we get a point, and then obviously we might hear back from the PSR hearing, we might get a point back there. Could turn into 2 points for the weekend if we managed it and get a bit of a breathing room. So that would be good. What's your thoughts for the rest of the season, Mason, if you don't come on before then?
Oh, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it, really? Like I say, I think ideally, in an ideal world, you write this weekend off with a Wolves win and then a Man U win, and then you've got no pressure. It's a free hit, like you said. Anything you get from the game's a bonus. But the three games after, I genuinely believe this, no Forest bias at all, genuinely believe there is 9 points available. I think there has to be. I think if you're a team that wants to stay in the division, you have to beat teams that are below you, in and around you. And Chelsea are Chelsea. Like, they blow hot and cold more than anyone else, I think, in the league currently. Whether they've got Cole Palmer or not, I think they're beatable. They concede goals for fun. So, and we're at home, and it's the last game of the season, so you'd like to think there'd be a bit of an atmosphere. So, yeah, I genuinely believe, hand on heart, we'll be okay. I genuinely think we'll have just about enough. I'd like to think we're going to Burnley with our beach balls and our Lilos and whatever else we want to dress up as. I'd like to think that. But I think we'll probably need a point on the last day, and I think we'll get it.
God. I mean, I was hoping beach balls and a new rendition of Waka Waka. So, you know. Like, that's what I was hoping for, really. But if we need a point on the last day, God, I'd hate that. I'd absolutely hate it, especially as I'm not going to be there to watch it or anything. Or, oh, God, yeah. All right, well, that kind of wraps things up on this belated episode of Red Side Trent. We'll be back Monday for the review of the City game. Mason, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Have a good weekend, guys, and come on, you Reds.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.